Hey, this is Shadow of the Darkness live broadcast on a Wednesday night, the 6th of April already. We're supposed to get 74 degrees here this weekend. Going to look great. Might be in Pennsylvania hunting around doing a reap trip this coming weekend also. So much to do, so little time. Well, the devil knows that his time is short. And he's furious. You ever read it, Revelation 12? Well, we need to understand what time it is and ramp up everything we are in Christ and do all that we can to extend the kingdom. It means lives. It really does. It means lives that need to come to Christ. How about you? Where you at? This is Russ Dizdar. ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web for those that are new. Welcome to all those listening satellite-wise and internet-wise. And by the downloads, we've been praying again for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and all of a sudden, once again, by the hundreds, downloads are occurring in Russia. So we want to welcome again the Russians. Now, all around the world, many, many countries, we want you to know that it is a mission. It is compelled by the love of God in Christ, and we simply want to bring incredible life and message, and what it is that God offers, what it is that God brings to your life wherever you are. So if you're listening by archive, somebody sends you something, maybe you got onto the internet and you're saying, wow, this was an accident. I don't think so. We pray that God draws individuals in, that God extends the message. There's great power in the message of the gospel. What does that mean? God loves you. God knows you. God wants you. God has provided the answer in Christ to what's going on in your heart and life and for destiny. Don't you feel it in the air all around us? Don't you realize what's coming down? So please take a few moments to listen. This is part 3 of the series on the Black Awakening. There's a 24-hour free, it's like 3 weekend seminars, like an 18-week-long course. It's absolutely free on the website. And then Freedom Encounters, how do you begin to help those who've been through, well, they call it satanic ritual abuse, they call it MPD, DID, those kind of things. But the chosen ones and or perfect ones and or BWBs, whatever else they call and designate, it is about their lives being victims of bloodline and a holy bloodline and the goal to build troops. The reason I am pressing the issue, let alone the fact that I feel led by the Spirit of God to do so, is because of what I see coming on the dark sides pouncing the Great Rebellion. And that's coming. The Red Horse issue, the Pale Horse issue, it's all coming. And Satan's got to have his troops and a master race, which burns my britches that the dark side does what it does to young children and so forth. So we need to ramp up the issue because of the amount. Everywhere I go, every conference I go to, just about every conference, there are either chosen ones there, that is, multiples, SRAs, victims there, and or infiltrators there, and those monitoring, those taping, those listening, those doing rituals against, or even causing some trouble at some of the conferences. Just about every single one. Now, there's a reason for that. They monitor, they listen, and I want to say welcome to those that monitor and listen, and your feedback to the perpetrators and those handlers out there, and the watchers and the enforcers. Well, listen, all I do know is this. God is the God that put his hand over Moses' life and what he wanted in the redemption of Israel. Pharaoh should have never come out of his castle. God is big, you know. And so I do entrust my life there. I do thank those believers everywhere that email me and tell me they are praying, and we can feel and know there are those kind of prayers. So great to meet so many great individuals face-to-face in Connecticut and Fort Wayne. I was sent a video of the baptism, one of the baptisms anyway. I'm going to try to put it up on our website later on, or put it up on YouTube maybe, whatever, or not YouTube, but Facebook. And so let me say this real quick. I probably responded to about 30 emails today, but we're still behind. And I want those who have sent letters to the P.O. Box, I want you to know thank you. I want you to know that because of the flood thing here and it's not resolved, more people had to come today, mold testers and all that kind of stuff. More people are coming tomorrow. We have no research center at all. We're operating on the side right now. So we're slowed down along with the conferences back to back. And we have a pile to my right of letters and so forth, probably about 30 letters to respond to. So I want to say again, thank you. You haven't been forgotten. And it's great. And we've got calls late night tonight. Now, let me tell you, this 1 hour show, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the live Shatter broadcast. Well, here's where we are at this time. But now we've restarted the Ragged Edge 2 hour show. It used to be on Sunday nights. It's now on Wednesday nights. So if you do go to the website and scroll down, right down the middle, to the left and to the right, well, those are all the courses and training courses and connections and network and so forth. But if you scroll down where it'll say the newest daily materials, Book of Acts, things like that, my wife's broadcast called Light Along the Way, and last week's interview with a former remote viewer. And a little bit further down, it'll say now on Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just click the Listen Live, and you'll be able to get involved. You can get into the chat room. We will probably take live calls tonight. Now, let me tell you also, you can send, even with this show, ahead of time, send emails. And if you have a question or comment that we might engage, to shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And so we want to invite you. We are interviewing for a second time at the 8 o'clock show tonight the former remote viewer that has left it all and is telling about, and tonight we're going to focus on, he's going to tell you stories about the powers behind, the energies behind, the presence behind remote viewing. And we're going to get into that tonight with John, and we appreciate that. Now, we have gotten letters and letters and letters, email specifically, prior to last week's show, right after that show, concerning those who had once got into it, others who have gotten out of it. And we've got a couple that are into it, wondering why it wouldn't be good, and I'm glad they're listening and glad they're engaged. For any of the first generation remote viewers, let me tell you this. It's not about us being right, you being wrong. That has nothing to do with it. It's not about an argument. It is about a serious spiritual deception. It is about your lives, your destinies, and what you're engaged with. Look around at all the book authors. Look at all the first-generation individuals involved. Absent is the Spirit of God. Absent is the clear testimony of the living Christ for who he is. Absent is all of that. There is another presence. Though to you it may be data, it's kind of the idea of spiritual revelation sanitized data. Well, where's the data coming from? What's the issue of passive reception of data into the unconscious mind, into your spirit? So we want to engage you because, listen carefully, God loves you. God is knowable. God is awesome. The living Christ is God in human flesh and did die, did rise from the dead, is alive right now. And if you're listening to this, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the living presence of God will impact you and summon you. God calls you into personal relationship. But you can't hang on to the dark powers. You just simply can't. I learned that when I first came to Christ almost 37 years ago. You can't hang on to the dark side and leap into the hands of God. Well, we have so many things to get into tonight. We're going to take the first 15 minutes to give you all of this update and all of this stuff. Then we'll be right into the subject matter tonight. Now, the subject matter tonight, as you'll notice on the website, if you're brand new again, Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net. If you need to know about us, scroll all the way down there towards the left. You'll see a picture It's about a four-year-old picture. And a bio, and that way you can take a look at everything there. You can, if you're interested in the doctrinal stuff, on the right-hand side, theology, mission, and copyrights and contact and all that kind of stuff's over there. And we want you to know that during this 1 hour, and even the other things, and for years, you know how it's been. We never say a word. But because of what we do and the project as a whole, plus the live show, we do need help. So our decision was not to go to products and commercial time and a lot of, you know, 5, 6 minutes during the show where it's constantly broken up. Our decision was not to go to that to be able to raise funds, that kind of stuff, and charge in products. So people have written, and we try to have, on the average, about 3 or 4 or 5 seconds, sometimes not at all, a mention of how you can help invest in the whole project and help the live and radio programs and all the stuff that's being done. And here's how you do it. On the main website, there is a little box next to the archives there, and it just says support. How can you help? Now, that's all we say. Go there, take a look, pray about it, read. Thank you for those who do. We got about 30 or 35 folks, out of many folks out there that help out. But it's one way that we're able to stay on the ground and do what we're doing and pump out the work across the board, which includes this live broadcast. So we invite your help. We invite your support. That's all we're going to say. Thank you for that. If you're not able to do it over the internet, you can send to P.O. Box. Listen now, P.O. Box 755, Uniontown, Ohio, 44685. Shatter the Darkness, P.O. Box 755, Uniontown, Ohio, 44685. Thanks. Blessings. We have this week's theme, which is part 3, that I'm going to constantly remind you about the restrainer. This is a major aspect of biblical revelation. It absolutely involves the near future prophetic events, and it's a tremendous revelation that the sum total of hell's presence, power, and all these events, globalism itself, let me say to all the globalists, Luciferian globalists that are knowing, maybe there's unwittings too, let me tell you right now that there is no globalism without the Spirit behind it, and globalism will never occur without the restrainer being removed out of the way, and this red horse event leading to the black and the white. You've got to understand that God gives in prophetic drama. Revelation can come in prophetic picture, but it brings dramatic communication about what is about to occur. An incredible study of Revelation 6, the only one allowed to open the actual, infallible, accurate, and irreversible future history. See, all the contingencies, everything's already done. It's not as though God needs to somehow peer into the future as if the future was bigger than God. God's on the other side, and he's behind, and he's above and below. The infinite nature of omniscience and omnipresence, that's big. Nothing touches it or comes close. So the sum total of the powers and presence of hell pose a massive, massive threat when the undergrounders call it, the Black Awakening occurs, the Great Revolt. And again, I tie this into the Red Horse event that leads to the black and to the white. And you're talking a couple billion eventually in this series of events. But it's all kicked off. But what holds back the massive great revolt? What holds back the Antichrist, Revelation 13, the entire multinational political, economic, military regime that in my deepest conviction already exists and is ready, empowered to come to the surface? What holds it all back? God has put in place a restrainer. Now, Thursday night, that's about all I'm going to talk about. Monday night, we dealt with the Chosen Ones and their powers, these transmuted super soldiers. Tuesday night, we talked about the back breeding to Aryan blood. There's a reason for that. It's all about powers, supernatural abilities, and no wonder, because everything in the scriptures tell us that in the end of days, unprecedented, counterfeit, demonically inspired, but masqueraded supernatural communication, powers, events, experiences, visitations, non-human enhancements, well, they're going to occur across the board worldwide because the dark side is pouring over into this side. And they've got an agenda. It's plotted, planned. They know what they're doing. Tonight we're going to engage in this hour. If a real chosen one is in your church or in your counseling center or in law enforcement, if you're an officer, or in the military, if you're a soldier, if they're in your system, I've got something very important to bring to you tonight. And it has everything to do with protection and awareness. Because, again, the numbers of first generation, I'll say it again, at least 40 million worldwide. And they're there, yes, in Russia. Dear Russians, they're there. In Germany, you know this deeply, broadly. And there in Italy, and right in the Vatican and throughout the Roman Catholic system. Where do you think all these abuses have come from? They're tied into the satanic side, the black rooms, and the deep, deep secret underside of the Roman Catholic system. Let alone the other systems. That's not that they're not infiltrated into other places. And please understand, infiltration is the initiation of the dark side. It doesn't have anything to do with the Christian counseling centers and things like that. It's not so much their fault. Our issue is understanding what's going on, listening to the Spirit of God, learning quickly now, because they've had years. I'm going to say this, in my opinion, on this subject alone, the church is 30 years behind. Spiritual warfare issues that should be the norm, and massive, massive content in prayer, I think we're vastly behind in all of this. We really are. Well, tonight we're going to talk about if you've been infiltrated. We got five major warnings. We'll start that in just a moment. Tonight at 8 p.m., the Ragged Edge remote viewing, the powers behind it. Former remote viewer John will be with us tonight. Thursday night we'll be dealing with the coming chaos, but we're going to deal with the restrainer, who he is, the force of that word, the force of the restraint, and what's going to happen when he is removed. Friday night, chosen ones, victims, can they be saved, healed, delivered, set free, things like this. So let's engage tonight and be ready to take a look at reasons why. How you doing tonight? Blessings to you. We love you. We do know this, that God does know you better than you know yourself. We got a word of encouragement at the end. We're going to do that also. But let's look at the fact and the plot of satanic infiltration. Now, I mean, you can go all the way back to the book of Galatians. You can look there where the Judaizers literally infiltrated. They infiltrated the body of Christ to spy out. You got to go back to the studies of the Rosicrucians and the Freemasons all throughout Europe. They were all infiltrating each other. That's how secret societies and dark work operates. There is even among stories, many, many stories of where there is a radical Muslim infiltration into Christian groups, into finding out, you know, especially in their own countries. They got a lot of spies everywhere. On the web, listening right now, recording everything, and then sending it off. Now, we did the conference in Mansfield some time back. Great conference. Deb and Don set up, and Gary Kaw and Lynn Marzulli and myself. But we were told, and we knew, and I had a team in the crowd, and everything went enormously well. But a few days later, somebody sent me a digital recording of my part that I did on the Black Awakening there in Mansfield. Now, what it was probably out of Youngstown, Pennsylvania area, some folks came in that are multiple, that are chosen, that are part of the system. They not only sat there and recorded my segment, somehow sent it to Texas, individual there sent it to me just stating, We wanted you to know that we are there in the crowd. Well, we knew that. And we also had a story of one of the workers there that heard somebody with, they saw some kind of like a recorder in a hand, but they heard somebody chanting. They felt a wave of evil presence. So they began to target that in prayer. Wow, that's exactly what is needed. One of the reasons the dark side operates and grows so vast and brings the damage, one of the reasons is, well, there's hearts and lives that are open to things and become the vessels of it, but it goes uncontested. So when it comes to spiritual warfare, direct spiritual warfare, we must target. We must, with the authority of Christ, which is decimating, it is so destructive to the dark side. I mean, they fear the name of Jesus. And I've seen many conversions over the years now in exorcisms when underground committed Satanists saw the power and authority of Christ over against their power demons. They knew, without question, their whole array of demonic presence and power and even charged blood was no match when the encounter occurred. By the way, Book of Acts, because of this day-by-day stuff we're dealing with here, we will not be able to do the Acts next session until Thursday afternoon. So it'll be up later on tomorrow night. But there is a training course, and we're offering it to you free again. It's there for everybody. And Book of Acts, Field Manual for the End of Days, it's already begun. There's about five hours total, including the introduction, and we'll get some more. But I want to mention a friend that has sent a note here, and I want to say, Quentin, thank you. And coming from way up there in the cold lands, Wisconsin, and desiring to be a part of creating a network and team. Well, we're going to develop the way of creating small group teams across the land, even in Europe. We're going to develop, we've done that here locally in starting small groups around in the past, but we're going to develop a way to network in, have kind of a picture and mission, and know what we need to do across the land to send individuals to. And so, Quentin, we appreciate this and others that have asked about it. Now, we are going to do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday major training here locally. My wife and I will do it. I'll do a lot of the stuff. This is going to be good for those coming in. I'm not sure if we're going to do it in like June, or if it's not going to be June, it's going to be the first couple of weeks into September. But we're going to do this training you can come down to, and you can get hands-on, and we will bring you out into doing experiential witnessing and engagement and so forth. It may involve some power encounters. But how to do this in your local area and go back, because every city in the United States, no question, has a coven, because you got victims that were raised up by the covens. The rituals are being done. The course, the training, you got to get it, please do. It's called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, and even for law enforcement. Listen, we're going too much into this, and let me go right now to the fact of satanic infiltration. I have no question that in our tracking, our engagement, now listen, directly, we were being infiltrated. In the beginning, when we had no idea of the concept of multiplicity, it's one thing to deal with somebody demonized, but it's another thing when you have an individual who has had forcefully created sub-alter personalities from childhood up that have been programmed, that have been severely trained, demonized, been through many rituals. So inside what may look like a very harmless and very passive individual are incredible, strong, empowered, knowledgeable, trained, on the one hand, warriors, including assassins, and including priestesses and ritual workers, and those, they not only know how to summon the demons and use ancient languages that nobody knows but them, and send them out against their targets, they understand targeted spiritual warfare. Christian, what do you understand? They understand how to focus on a pastor, a church, and implement a mission to send from the coven spirits and to then send in what may seem like a victim at first. And the victim is going to begin to consume time. And you're going to notice that they're going to gravitate towards the leadership, the pastor. They're going to, all of a sudden, if they're there long enough, you're going to notice that prayer stuff has been interrupted, that somehow some weird division is and controversy has started, that many people are getting involved, that center of attention is this victim, that maybe objects, gifts, things have been laid around and given. People have gotten sick and headaches and confusion. You feel something weird in the sanctuary, ominous, and you don't know what's totally going on. I've got five major things to tell you. I hope and pray that by God's encouragement, you will get this to pastors and leaders. If you're a prayer warrior leader and a leader in a local fellowship, in two of our cases, there was, and especially way back in the beginning, when I was the executive director of a large outreach youth ministry that involved, it involved literally over the years, thousands of young people, but we were making impact, and I was bringing in spiritual warfare aspects. We were doing deliverances with kids, teenagers. And this is where Shatter started. Shatter the Darkness literally started around 1980 in designed to have a specialized team that would target young people that was into Satanism and dark powers and so forth and be able to, you know, deal with the demonic stuff and then research where they're getting, you know, their materials and finding that many of them were connected to adults. And that's when we, not knowing at the time, had individuals come in that wanted to work with us that showed up to be full-blown, high-powered, high-trained multiples. And they were sent. Now, when they first come and say hello and they're nice, and you've got to understand again, listen to this principle. It comes out of 2 Corinthians 11. It's where it says Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. Metaskizmazatai. You know, I've been saying that word a lot because I want you to look it up. And I want you to know the full force of what God says the dark side is able to do. Because there's so many people out there saying, come into the light. I'm into the light. Go into, you know, all this stuff. By the way, somebody wanted me to see the new movie Insidious. Now, the only reason, like a book, presuppositional analysis, spiritual analyzing of what's out there. And listen, remote viewers, astral projectors, are going to be probably mad at this film. And I'm not going to tell you everything about the film, but again, if you see anything like that, to me, it's not a matter of entertainment. I don't like the prices. That's why I try to go to the early show and pay the least amount. But it's like, again, when it comes to mass media, analyzing the content and the effect, and this movie shows the insidious nature of the dark side, surely. It clearly shows that those who are getting out of their bodies and so forth are getting into the realms of darkness. But I noticed throughout the entire movie, when it came to trying to help individuals who had left their body and couldn't get back, and how these others wanted to walk in, and there's this hideous, insidious, demonic presence. I mean, they really kind of showed it pretty real in this movie, trying to get in. And they were using new age psychics to try to block all this. You're going to be blown away by the conclusion. No mention of God, no mention of Jesus' name whatsoever in that process. Why are the demons around? They oppose Christ. That's what it's all about. And so the new age, embracing the counterfeit light, it'll never lead you to God, never to the living Christ, never to the answer and the incredible, listen, unprecedented work of what God does in salvation, in that spiritual act. Well, vital that we understand these things because these, listen, chosen ones, like the one that called me to say they had been remote viewing my home. they named the color of it and the pillars and the door and other things. This is many years ago. This is back in the 90s. Many of the chosen ones, they'll tell you, counselors and pastors and others that are working with, again, call them SRA, DID, MPD if you want, but they have sub-personalities. And listen, here's the truth. In the secular psych wards where Thorazine and drugs and other things are given, where hypnotherapy is used and all that kind of stuff, two things are absolutely the fact. One, they can't get to the demonic realm and do anything about it. Two, psychotropic drugs and so forth can interfere and somewhat block, because they're blocking the doorways, in a sense, the access to using the mind and the mouth and the life of a person because they're so drugged up. But it also might open the doors to the dark side, drug-wise. Now, the other issue is they just simply can't get to the cult-loyal sub-personalities that have been trained. And so it's very hard for, and when I say purely secular, especially if they're using Jung and Freud and Skinner and all kind, I mean, even New Age stuff in the world of psychiatry and psychology nowadays. So that's why in every psych ward in America and probably in Europe, you know, they've had these individuals for 30 years. You realize that, right? They're there now. Ask your psychologists. Ask your psychiatrists. They're among us. What are you going to do about it? And that's the first generation. But the truth is we now see second, third, fourth generation. That's why I'm telling you again, of the individuals we're talking about, 100 million, probably 50 million intact, ready to go when triggered, when activated, to unleash. And that's what they're here for. For other reasons too, and part of that involves infiltration. Infiltration into churches and Christian ministries and parachurch ministries and mission groups. Oh, they have gotten into mission groups and have actually gone on mission trips. Mission leaders, Christian colleges, Christian Bible schools, church, denominational leading, all across the board, we've engaged these chosen ones. When they are, listen, this is vital, when they are intact, which means the upfront person is amnesic. They don't know that they're being handled. They don't know they've got 50, 60 other highly trained, programmed, demonized personalities down inside. They have been created to be amnesic. The main person isn't supposed to ever know. That's what this process is all about. That's what this operating in a stealth sense and infiltrating. It's like an individual, like a Trojan horse in a way. An individual can walk in, look totally vulnerable, look totally harmless, act like they're there just for help. And maybe they really are. They just know there's things going on in their life, but they don't even know what it is. But while they're doing all this, co-conscious, that is, active, cult-trained, programmed, demonized sub-personalities, like carrying right into your mission, right into your church, right into your law enforcement agency, sub-personalities that observe, that are co-conscious, that watch. And I'm going to mention the five things that they'll be doing. And when you know these things, because listen, why? Because we've done it so many times now. We've engaged it so long. We've purposely, and I'm not going to tell you everything we do. We'll do that with local churches, but I will not broadcast everything we do. The reap trips, things like that. Counter-infiltration, things like that. The surveillance and the surveillance technologies, let alone what God sometimes shows us and makes, you know, where to wait. We don't want to like give a heads up to everything we do. But we've learned the methodology. We've engaged those who have come out to tell and confess and go over the details of their infiltration. And I've watched again and again and again some of the same MO going on. And this is literally what they're trained to do. And it's incredibly sophisticated. I guarantee you, even though I've been a pastor in four churches in a 30-year history, I'm telling you that, and no pastors and no churches very well, overwhelmingly the body of Christ, mission agencies, Christian schools, locally here, across the nation, the old PTL scandal, all these things we need to relook at because of the infiltration and purposeful placement of chosen ones. They have so many things inside of them that'll be active and operative while others are just looking on the outside and dealing with the surface. So it's vital to understand what comes in. And I think the idea of a vulnerable, harmless-looking Trojan horse is a good picture. What's inside the belly of it? What's inside the inside of the chosen one? They, again, the upfront person would maybe never hurt a person, never do anything. But sub-personalities that are sexually oriented, they will attack your children. If they get an opportunity, they would rape and kill and do whatever else. I can tell you stories. You got to understand, in the Catholic system and many other places that have had the sexual abuse issues, you're dealing with this kind of practice where sub-personalities who have been through a lot of sexual abuse themselves and never been healed or dealt with, they surface when nobody's around. They're looking for, and in some cases we've dealt with, they motivate the woman and or the man to become foster parents, to bring in kids. And if all of a sudden the kids begin to show up multiple, what's going on there? What's going on there? Are you ready for this? Can I pray that the Spirit of God would give insight to you and give witness to you? Can I pray that gifting of the Spirit of God would be unleashed for your help? Can I tell you that greater is the one inside you, believer, than the one inside, you know, the one in the world, the fallen world system? Can I tell you to really sink in 1 John 4? Somebody sent me a letter today saying they were thankful that I had mentioned at the conference in Connecticut, I believe it was, the issue of being fierce and not filled with fear. Believers can either become powerfully fierce or cowardly fearful. Which one you think grieves the Spirit? Which one you think, a believer in Christ filled with fear, you think God can use that? You think that demonstrates anything? What about the believer that becomes growingly and becomes, you know, again, if you do this, Acts 9:22, they became more and more powerful. You look in the book of Acts, and as long as they continue to step out in faith and obey the word of God, they became stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger to the point that they were unstoppable and indefeatable and wouldn't go away. By the time you get to Acts 5:42, they wouldn't stop. Unless, of course, you killed them. But then sometimes that just spawned the body of Christ. Like the old phrase, blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, right? Chosen ones are among churches. Have been so since I believe that I believe they've been introduced into and have been purposely placed. I believe there's a plot across the land. I believe that's how it's been. That underside system knows what they're doing, and they've been placing all over the place. And so in churches, in places everywhere, from the 70s on have been embedded in local churches. I mean, you got stories now. And over the years, I'll say this. I've got these highly powered chosen ones. Many times the upfront person doesn't know. Sometimes they do and they're a part of the plot. I've seen them as those who were pastors, itinerant preachers, teaching Sunday school and Bible stuff, being involved in music in the church, being involved in some level of work, janitor, get the keys of the church to use it, and so forth. Across the board, that's been our encounter. Across the board, that's what we've been told. And it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that they didn't get that far in. And I'm going to tell you something else. The sub-personalities and those who perpetrate this, they revel in this. They love doing it. So, since the 70s on, here's what I see. in our experience and engagement, as one shared how they even grid map areas, and on the grid map, they put down every church in the region. They list them like on a map, on a wall, and they color code them to say which ones they're going to go after. See, they don't care about liberal dead churches. They don't care about where the body of Christ is completely apostate, that aren't even doing the body of Christ, that become nothing more than, beyond Laodicea, they've already been spewed out. There is no Christ there. There is no Spirit of God there. There is no salvation there. Jesus always said you'd know them by their fruit and by the biblical revelation held to. You read the seven churches of Revelation, there's some things we need to understand Jesus will not tolerate in the body of Christ. And for those who are believers remembering, judgment begins in the house of God concerning our conduct. Sardis was once alive, became dead because it quit doing the great mission, the great works of Jesus. So many churches are like that today. It's sad. They can go on, be active, have money, do things. The lights are on, but no one is home. Seems that way. If you walk in and walk out in an hour and a half and it seemed powerless, nothing. I mean, look at the book of Acts. Five factors concerning chosen ones. Some of you listening, I don't have any doubt you'll realize you've been infiltrated. And believers across the board, Europe, Canada, Australia, America, you got to begin to look. Don't use evil suspicion that it talks about in the pastoral writings of Timothy. Evil suspicion is not the same thing as discernment. Holy Spirit discernment is accurate and it lets us know. We know that something's of God or not of God, or we know we have a check and it shows to be true. Evil suspicion is just people going around with hunches, looking at all kinds of crazy things the Bible didn't even talk about. It turns into nothing more than talk and gossip and slander and malice, and there's no verification. When evil suspicion is being just unleashed, oh, I looked over there and that person had their hat on the left side last week, now it's on the right side, and when the worship starts they shift it over to the left side, that means they must be left-hand path Luciferians. No, it doesn't mean that. And so you got to know what you're dealing with, and you got to make sure you know not to use evil suspicion, not to live in fear, but again become spiritually fierce, living in the full presence, beauty, love, power, might, joy of Christ, and also know how to bear the spiritual warfare sword. I think a great picture of this is in Nehemiah chapter 4 as far as the teaching point. If you have been in your church, it could be law enforcement, government, military, I'm going to tell you right now, if you have somebody there that all of a sudden stands out, seems a little different, you're realizing something's wrong, something strange. You know, if you're a believer and you feel by the Holy Spirit, something's wrong here. Then if you get a clear check, pray about that check and follow that lead. Follow what the Spirit of God wants to give. Remember Daniel chapter 1 when he prayed, and God, and then he gives praise to God when God gave the answer explicitly that God reveals what's in the darkness. He knows what's in the darkness. He can make it known. Like Ezekiel chapter 8, the covens in your area can be dealt with and found. You can target them in prayer, and you can find the victims, and you can, you do our training, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. Europe, you got to do it. The Russians, you got to do it in your area. You got Russian kids eating other kids in satanic ritual. That's how bad it's getting. Five things, here it goes. I know you're waiting. Here it goes. Number one. If you have a chosen one in your midst, if you realize all of a sudden you got an SRA, MPD, somebody says they've been through satanic ritual abuse, they are multiple, then five things are very clear true. In our training, we even go into more depth, but here I can give you this. Number one, you and your group, whether it's a church, Christian mission, a Christian Bible college or seminary, a Christian coffee house, whatever it may be, if you have one there and all of a sudden you're finding out, hey, this is someone who has SRA, MPD, and maybe you don't know much about it, but here's what you got to realize. Most likely, you have been targeted. You've already been targeted. And what that means, pastors and leaders in your church, if you have an SRA, MPD, DID individual coming, whoever brought them, however they got there, especially if they just kind of showed up, here's what's true. You've already been targeted. You've already been visited by the coven leadership. Oh, they've come in. They've come in to look around. They'll come in with a smile and shake your hand. They're observing. They're getting the reconnaissance. They're looking all around. They'll check you out way in advance. That means if you've been targeted, they've already begun warfare against you and your church. If you have one there and you're aware, if you are working with them in a counseling center structure, you have been targeted. Even if one shows up as a victim trying to get out, their handlers and coven individuals and the informer, the personalities inside who are trained, programmed, that if they get off the track, call the handlers. Make contact and say, hey, they're going over to this church. Hey, they're going over here and meeting. They've got sub-personalities. In one case we found, every night at 11 o'clock, a sub-personality would pop up right at 11 o'clock, get on the phone, call the coven leadership, and tell them everything they'd done that day, who they were with, what pastor, all they'll tell them everything. And if it's a reconnaissance-trained program personality who is to get information, pictures, whatever else, get their wheel, you know, listen, they'll want to get all the way into your offices. When they switch, the spy, the satanically empowered trained spy, will spy out everything. So if you've got one, number one, you have already been targeted. You need to take a step back and realize, you know what? Lord, I understand that they have already targeted us. They've already visited us. And there has been a plot and agenda. Number two, there is a plot. There is a plan that you can find out. It is about a plot and a plan. They're there to bring an engagement of spiritual warfare, even just simply testing the powers. They're there to see the effect of their stealth operating, you know, work. They're there because they have a pastor they want to bring down, a counselor they want to bring down, a information they want to get. But it's all about that. It's about it's planned and known on their part what they're doing. And that means that they are needing to know everything about you and your organization and everybody around you. They might want to become friends of yours and association with you. And all of a sudden they like everything you like and they befriend you and they bring you gifts and you invite them to, you know, they're asking about your home. They're asking about everything. They want rides. They want to come to your house. They're giving you, like, if your favorite, you know, they're giving you your favorite food. They got things to give you. So you'll get used to how they operate. They might not give you demonized objects in the beginning or maybe even poisoned drink or food in the beginning. But that's part of the plot. Let's go to number three. Number three, the goal is to get as much recon as possible. They want to know about your money. They want to know about your activities. They want to know about your schedule. They want to know who else you're dealing with. They want to know how powerful you are, how aware you are. They want to size you up. They want to recon everything. In law enforcement, they want to know where the guns are, where the weapons room is, where the keys. They want to know everything. They want to know everything. Sub-personalities trained for this want to know everything. For either use now or when they break out, what they need to do. They want recon. They're giving recon and information back. All of a sudden you realize, hey, these guys are asking questions and questions and questions. They want to know everything. They're into everybody's life. They're into everything. They're into the deacons. They're into the elders. They're into the prayer meeting. They're into the janitors. They're all, you know, they're asking about, they're there ahead of time. They're around all the time. Recon. They're there for corruption. They want to meet with you alone. Oh, I got to meet just with you, just with the pastor. I got to meet alone. Some personalities that have already been unleashing spiritual warfare to bring headaches, confusion, whatever else, might begin to bring a very manipulating leading into compromise. They got personalities that are highly trained sex slaves. I think that's what happened at PTL. I think traveling backwards with John Wesley White and the lady, looking at all that occurred, it is my opinion, there in other colleges and Bible schools and church ministries may have had highly trained that brought vast compromise. They may come to your church and have sub-personalities, and if you let them into the children's ministry, if you let them into the nurseries, and all of a sudden sub-personalities sexually abuse children, and it becomes a known thing in the community, in the newspapers, that happened right here in our area. It was a multiple. They ended up showing up at our offices. When the teams began to pray, demonic presence immediately manifested. Sub-personalities inside, they don't care about children. They have no mercy. They're programmed. They're demonized. It's been done to them. They know how to do it. And they're predator. The upfront person may know nothing about it, wouldn't harm anybody, but I guarantee you sub-personalities would. So that's why they're there. Recon, bring corruption, bring harm. Physically and spiritually, that's what it's all about. Physically and spiritually, that's what it's all about. Now, number four, just realize this. An agenda of spiritual warfare has begun and continues until you deal with all of it. They believe in attrition. Don't stop until they win. So the warfare, if your church has been targeted, individuals have visited your church or school or ministry or, you know, missions or law, if they've already began to spiritually send demonic powers, look at Revelation 16. They know how to send demons with assignments. Real people, believers that understand Ephesians 6 and the arrows that are sent by a sender. You got to understand when they conjure spirits and send them, or if they're highly demonized, in other words, they've got dozens of demons on the inside, they can carry them right into your office right next to you with the goal that a sub-personality is going to release them, or what they might think they have a psi power to get into your head, send thoughts. True story, I'm doing a seminar, preaching stuff at a large church in our area, doing all this material, teaching the courses. And I engage someone in the media room and they say, Pastor Russ, I don't know why I do this, but once the pastor of that church gets up to begin to preach, all of a sudden it's like my mind is taken over and I'm trying to project my thoughts into the mind of the pastor and I'm trying to alter what he's saying. Now that's at the very least demonization or more. The concept of Psy Warrior, you know, the whole issue with the men who stare at ghosts, Fort Bragg, you know, the materials on Psy Warfare, remote influence, and attack, by the way, it's beyond influence. Anyway, point four, they've already begun a systematic campaign of warfare. Their goal, do it in stealth. And their goal, send the powers against your church or your school or whatever it is, first of all, to see if they can do all the damage they need to do. If that doesn't happen enough, then they might through whatever means, very nonchalant, send in a chosen one. Up front, maybe to act like a victim. Up front, maybe they're totally amnesic. They don't even know, but the inside personalities do. They report back. They know why they're there. And the inside personalities can summon demons, release them. Get demonized objects, bring them into your place, give them to you, and on and on and on. And while you're standing there praising God and praising the name of Jesus, and they've got their hands raised or whatever and saying they're praising the Lord, they mean Satan. subpersonalities can surface during worship. You say, how can they get into the body of Christ? Jesus and the Last Supper, the disciples were there. Satan was in the room. Now, Jesus knows that. The disciples didn't. That's part of the problem of the body of Christ. We're like those early disciples in many ways. Jesus, they don't get anything past him. But they did get everything past the disciples. Jesus had to say to them, hey, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that you... Listen, the warfare was coming. Even to the church, you look, you read the seven churches, you'll find out one of them, Jesus gave a heads up, Satan was coming to deal with them. 10 days. So what we need to do, the reason is churches are so spiritually powerless. Normally on a Sunday morning, most churches spend 18 seconds to 38 seconds in prayer time. Feeble, weak. No massive intercession, and absolutely no warfare, which should be incorporated into every body of Christ. Every local body, every group, everyone should be doing what God has taught us in Christ in the basic discipleship. Are we nuts or what as believers? Have we been so suppressed and turned into spectators that we don't even know what it is to live the power of God? Are we crazy? Hope you'll lead your church into a church that can spend 40 minutes in massive intercession and spiritual warfare for the city, for the nation, for people by name, and unleash a concert of massive spirit-guided, Spirit of God-guided, empowered, powerful prayers where answers can occur in the sanctuary. You think that'd be a boring church? Read Acts chapter 4. No boring church there. Warfare's begun. What are you going to do? Sit around and let them just trample all over everything? Believers listening right now, get outraged about this and begin to do something in your own bodies in a right way, asking the Lord to lead, but you become powerful. You become discerning. You get trained. Warfare's begun already. Number 5. You know what number 5 is all about? Number 5, the ultimate goal of all of it is to bring the destruction in. And let me tell you this. Number 5, a point. This is a vital point. If you've got a chosen one and you notice these things, and if they're there all of a sudden, oh, we're here to get help. Take us through deliverance. Take us through inner healing. Fine, great. The evidence that they really want help is that they are getting delivered, they are getting healed, they are renouncing the dark side, and here's a key. They're willing to turn and expose the dark side. Well, I had a word of hope today out of Peter, chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. And that is, let me just say it this way, verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation. Take a read of it. Nail it down. This is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Further teaching, get a hold of it. We'll have to add the rest of this tomorrow. Good night.